can't tell you why, but I already like John Lilly, and I've only heard him play for about 20 seconds, and we've probably talked for about 2 minutes and 15-second segments over the last 10 minutes or so. He was here last night along with Rick Bruning for the Harmony in the House concert series in Harmony. He's from Charleston, West Virginia, and you'll get to know him this hour, as will I. Here's John Lilly.
I'm so excited cause I got good news to tell. Finally met someone just like you were hoping. Things are really going well. Yes, she's a looker and a real fine cooker, and we sure do get along. Good news is that I really love her, and the bad news is she's gone. But the good news is she's about perfect, just an angel in every way. She's got a heart as big as West Virginia, and the smiling won't go away. Smart and funny, and she got her own money. She's blue-eyed, tall, and blonde. Good news is that I really love her, and the bad news is she's gone. Talking, all the sparks began to fly. Joking and laughing and singing and dancing, and the night just flew on by. When I asked her for a telephone number, the number she gave me was wrong. Good news is that I really love her, and the bad news is she's gone. But the good news is she's about perfect, an angel in every way. She's got a heart as big as West Virginia, and a smile won't go away. Smart, funny, she got her own money, and she's blue-eyed, tall, and blonde. Good news is that I really love her, and the bad news is she's gone. The bad news is she's gone.
My intuition was right. That's John Lilly. What a great voice you have, and a great song. That's your song?
Yeah.
And you do mostly your own things, right?
I do. I know lots of old country songs, and for years I played doing old traditional country songs, and then I finally got to where I was doing more and more original stuff. Now, a typical night like last night, I did probably three quarters of the songs were ones I'd written, and I did a few Jimmy Rogers, I'm not sure if I did any Hank Williams last night, but I sang some George Jones songs for sure, and all. But yes, to answer your question, mostly original music these days.
What was your childhood like? Was there music in it?
Oh yeah, yeah. I'm the third of eight children, and my dad sang barbershop quartet and got us involved in choirs and choruses, and we all sang together. My three brothers and I, and my dad, we all sang in these choirs and choruses all through grade school and high school. And my dad played harmonica and piano, and holidays especially, but around the campfire, and in the wintertime we'd have fire in the fireplace, and he'd play his harmonica and sing these old songs that he knew. Was never a performing family. I'm the only one in my family that gets out and travels and performs, but we all loved music. Now, I'm the only one who's drawn to this old country music. They all wonder what gave with that.
Interesting. Are the others more drawn to standards and more popular?
Yeah, different things. Jazz and rock and Beach Boys, and you know, just they all have favorite songs and favorite styles of music, and they're all very supportive of my music. When I was younger, it was a little bit of a tougher fit. They didn't know where I was coming from.
Oh, but, sure.
I finally struck a chord. What happened, actually, this is kind of interesting, what happened, the kind of the pivotal moment with my family's acceptance of my music was I got the opportunity to do a McDonald's hamburger commercial. And it was totally embarrassing. I didn't eat McDonald's hamburgers. And I got this opportunity to be on TV wearing a cowboy hat, singing a little jingle that I wrote about McDonald's, ordering your meal by the numbers. This was back when that was new. They were introducing that concept. But this aired all over the country.
You're kidding.
And suddenly my family was like, oh, this we can understand. This, you know, being on TV and singing about hamburgers.
Do you remember, like, the catchphrase or line?
Oh, it was like, McDonald's is the friendly place for you. They serve it fast so you can take it easy. Just order your meal by the numbers.
That's a big deal, I would think.
Meal number one was a Big Big Mac. Two is a McDLT. Remember the McDLT?
Yeah.
Meal number three, the Quarter Pounder. Each with a small fry and a large drink for a special price. I can't believe you got me to do that on the radio.
It's funny the things the things that are in the back of your head. You can remember that. You know, I was trying to remember a name before when we were talking, and it's memory works funny. That's there forever. So when did you turn to the more traditional music, both playing it and also writing in the style of, the classic country or I'd even say, I don't like to label music, but I guess you would call it more traditional folk or rockabilly country-ish type style.
Always been drawn to that. When I was really little, my mother used to tell stories about when I was 3 years old, I'd go around the house singing, Tway Twain, Going So Fast. and I remember singing Hank Williams songs, Hey Good Looking, and stuff like that when I was a very young age, and I didn't even know what I was singing about.
John Lilly is here. He's from Charleston, West Virginia. His last name is like the flower with an extra L in the middle. There's three L's in Lilly. We'll talk a little bit about CDs of his, maybe after the next song. And I'd like to talk about his songwriting skills a little bit, too. We'll talk about it later, but he's actually playing a guitar that was awarded to him for winning a songwriting competition. But let's hear another song. What would you like to do next?
Well, I'll tell you, you were asking about my family, and the Lilly name in West Virginia is a fairly common family name. When I moved to West Virginia in 1992, I was often asked if I was related to, especially the Lilly brothers. B and Everett are a well-known bluegrass duo, the Lilly brothers. And I got curious about my relationship to the Lillys of West Virginia, and my father and I did some genealogy research and discovered we were not related to those Lillys, and the name came into our family by adoption about 100 years ago. And it kind of turned into sort of a sad story. You know, a lot of times genealogy, you hope to find that you're related to, you know, somebody rich or somebody famous or somebody successful. But my relatives had a very hard time of it. And they were bohemian immigrants. And I ended up putting the details of it into this song that I'd like to sing for you. This is a true story of the early life of my grandfather. It's called Bohemian Boys.
Joseph and Mary, and the baby she carried, came to Chicago on the train. 1889, one thin American dime and long, hard bohemian name. The baby appeared, then a new one every year. Three boys and then a girl, till it wrapped you through a wire, sparked a raging fire, drove them from their bohemian world. Crushed and ashamed, to a convent they came, with their boys, one, two, three. Eyes filled with tears, voice too low to hear. They hung down their heads, made this plea. Please take these bohemian boys. Breaks our hearts, but we got no choice. Love them and need them, but we can't even feed them. So please take these bohemian boys. Now the oldest one is Peter. He's a mighty healthy eater. His brother James can get a little wild. Now little Jeremiah is quiet and shy. God never made a sweeter bohemian child. Please take these bohemian boys. Breaks our hearts, but we got no choice. Love them and need them, but we can't even feed them. So please take these bohemian boys. Touch this bohemian boy. Please take these bohemian boys. Someday soon we will rejoice. Fly up to heaven, you reach down and get them. So please take these bohemian boys.
John Lilly at the Saturday Light Brigade. That's on the Haunted Honky Tonk album. I was looking at this CD and was wondering about that song before you played it. I'm glad you did.
Yeah, it's a true story. It's all true. It was the early life of my grandfather, who was born of Bohemian immigrants who put him up for adoption. He was adopted by a man named John Lilly, actually. Changed his name to George Lilly, and that's why I'm a Lilly and not a Rezebek. But that whole story is true. His father was committed to a mental institution, and his mother lived on the streets, and the police took her girls and put them into housing, supervised housing. And so it was a real sad story, but I guess happy in the end in that Jeremiah found a family that was able to take care of him, and he went on to have a successful life.
How, you know, I've never done genealogy or genealogical research. How did you figure out the story?
My dad did the heavy lifting on this one up in Chicago. He was retired, and he went around to Catholic Relief Services.
Wow.
And he found some papers among his mother's effects. Talking about the adoption of his father. He never met his father. That's another story. But he found these papers that led him to some of his Catholic Relief Services, and he was a real charming individual, and he managed to charm these nuns into photocopying some records that probably maybe they shouldn't have been copying for him. But then he passed it to me, and I did some online research and found some marriage and death certificates, and we pieced together the story. And I wrote that song for my family, basically, to try to help them understand what we discovered about our ancestors.
Yeah, you know, 100 years from now, people might be finding the... it'll probably be like an MP12 or something very advanced. You know, they'll find something.
People are fascinated by the story. I actually had someone ask me about the film rights at one time for the story. Nothing ever came of that. But it is an interesting story about these immigrants who, you know, were struggling and had to put their kids up for adoption and the whole mental illness aspect of it.
Yeah, it's a compelling story, and it's great that you could document it. I mentioned that album. There's another one you've got, too, which is, well, Haunted Honky Tonk and Cold Comfort. What's the best way? I suspect people listening might want to get a hold of these.
Well, they can go to my website, johnlilymusic.com, and they can click around and find all kinds of song clips, and they can buy it. Also, they can go to cdbaby.com, and all my CDs are for sale on CD Baby.
Great, and that's a great fair, generally really great to artists, CD Baby, at least from what my friends tell me. So you can find it there, or John Lilly with two L's in the middle, Lilly music .com. So this guitar you are playing is quite beautiful, and it's got a grand prize winner, Writers in the Sky, around the sound hole. And I asked you a little bit about that. This came from winning a songwriting competition.
Yeah, I got this. I was doing my email. This is about 2005. And I got this email from this friend of mine. She said, oh, you probably know all about this already, but here's a link to a songwriting contest. And it was news to me. About 11 o'clock on a Monday night, it was a songwriting contest called Ghost Writers in the Sky. It was being sponsored by a music festival called Hank Fest, Hank Williams tribute festival in Chicago. And they were looking for original songs in the style of Hank Williams. And so I went and I had this song called Blue Highway that I thought would be appropriate. So I went in, I had a cassette player, and I punched record. They just wanted voice and guitar, so I just played the song. And the deadline was Wednesday at noon. So I had to overnight it, you know, to Chicago and on Tuesday, and it arrived there on Wednesday. And on Thursday, I get this phone call from this fella in Chicago, and the first thing after he introduces himself says that they had 850 song submissions, and mine was the only one that came in on cassette tape. So, you know, they got these new shiny round things, you know, check them out.
This is 2005, yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, he said that he listened to all 850 songs and chose mine and two others as finalists, and they put them on their website for people to vote. So I calmly got off the phone and calmly emailed 50 of my closest friends, and they spread the word, and people voted, and I won. And it's got my name in the nick.
Yeah.
It's got this little prize-winning thing around the sound hole, and it's pretty nice guitar.
Yeah, it sounds good. Do you know who? I can't see the head.
It's a Washburn.
Yeah, it sounds really good. But the player has a lot to do with that,
well,
too.
Well, we have to meet in the middle somewhere.
What would you like to do next?
I'll do the song that won the guitar, if you don't care.
Oh, I'd love that.
I'm a big Hank Williams fan, and I tried to write this song sort of in his style called Blue Highway. The day I was born, started moving on, riding on that blue highway, seen year after year through my rearview mirror, riding on that blue highway. Been riding on that blue highway, riding on that blue highway. A tear fills my eyes for the love I left behind, riding on that blue highway. Been from L.A. to Maine on a blacktop two-lane, riding on that blue highway.
highway. It's a slow winding road where the freeway won't go. Riding on that blue highway. Been riding on that blue highway. Riding on that blue highway. A tear fills my eye for the love I left behind. Riding on that blue highway. A hawk in a tree turns his head at me. Riding on that blue highway. He takes to the sky as I roll by. Riding on that blue highway. Been riding on that blue highway. Riding on that blue highway. A tear fills my eye. Riding on that blue highway.
John Lilly at the Saturday Light Brigade. That song sounds like it's been around forever. That song sounds like it's 40 years old. I can see why it won.
Yeah, it's a fun song to sing in the. It definitely evokes that old Hank Williams country blues feel, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. You really, you've got the perfect voice, the perfect brain for crafting these songs and the perfect style of playing they're your own songs and your own style, but they... you can tell the link they have to the past. I don't know if I'm expressing it well, but it's clear that you've taken those idioms and have made them your own and have advanced them, and I really like that about you.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that. I often think that music, for musicians, you are what you eat. You know, I listen to a lot of old music. I've got a really extensive record collection, and when I'm not playing music, I'm going out and hearing music, and I'm just absorbing sounds all the time, and that's the music that really resonates to me. I like other styles of music. I love rock and roll, and I love blues and jazz, and opera not so much, but you know, I listen to various types of music, but that music, that old country stuff, is the stuff that really kind of makes my ribs tickle. So
yeah, if you're joining us, John Lilly is here in part because he was in Harmony last night at the Harmony in the House concert. Do you play out much?
A lot, yeah.
Where can folks catch you? Are you typically near Charleston, or are you traveling at all?
Well, it varies quite a bit. I'm playing tonight up in Fairview, Pennsylvania, near Erie. And then I have a concert Sunday night back in West Virginia in Cross Lanes. And then I'm playing in Virginia, in Luray, Virginia, next weekend. And then every Tuesday in May at a little restaurant, nightclub in Charleston called the Bluegrass Cafe with a band. I've got a little three-piece band called Blue Yonder, and we're playing there on Tuesday nights. So various things. I think if people just go to my website, johnlilymusic.com, calendar's fairly up to date. I'm going to be in Titusville, Pennsylvania. Do you know where that is?
I do, and we actually have a lot of listeners. One of our affiliates covers Titusville quite well. Actually, two of them may be audible in Titusville.
I'm doing a traditional arts workshop and festival there in July. I believe it's July 12th, 13th, and 14th in Titusville.
Yeah, I wonder if that's at Oil City Arts or at the Drake Museum. There's a lot of nice places to play up there.
HOTA, something of traditional arts. I can't remember what that stands for, but it's in Titusville, and it's the second weekend of July.
Excellent. Well, look for John's gigs at johnlilymusic.com. You can find out all about them. I'm glad you're playing out. And I wanted to mention, too, John brought a copy of a magazine. This is a fine magazine. I just happened to leaf through it, called Golden Seal, which is published by the state of West Virginia. John's
That's right.
the editor of it. And this is about as fine, you know, people talk about Arizona Highways and other magazines that capture the spirit of a region. I'm going to read this from cover to cover. This is a good magazine.
Thank you.
There are some photo essays. There's an article called Growing Up at a Hardware Store that I'm itching to read, but not until after we finish. And there's an article about girls' basketball. Just a lot of authentic-looking pieces in here.
The stories are written by freelance writers. Many of them are from West Virginia. Many of them are senior citizens who are writing about their own experiences. So it's very much at the grassroots level.
West Virginia gets so much right, you know, from – I was telling somebody about Tamarack the other day and trying to explain it to them. This notion that we're going to have an easy-to-get-to center where you can get a sense of what happens in the state from artisans to, I think, covering certain aspects of state history in school. And I always feel that people are not from West Virginia but of West Virginia, and it's really incredible to me. And maybe it's a scale thing. Maybe it's about just the right size. I'm not sure.
Well, it doesn't come without struggle.
Yeah.
There are those who support the arts and Tamarack and Golden Seal and those who see it differently. But we've managed to get a few things right. And I think Tamarack is certainly a feather in our cap, and I like to think Golden Seal is as well.
Oh, yeah, it's terrific. 17 before noon, I would love to – we've got time for at least three or four more songs. What would you like to do next?
I got something a little different I'd like to do for you, just to kind of shake it up a little bit. I was listening to the radio – I listen to the radio a lot when I drive, and I heard an interview with Bruce Springsteen, and he was talking about the importance of autobiography in his songwriting. And I thought, well, maybe I could write an autobiographical song. I wrote that family history song, but it wasn't really about me. And I thought, well, what about me? Because I was born in the suburbs. I'm a baby boomer.
Where were you born? Because you mentioned your family moved to West Virginia in 92.
Well, I moved to West Virginia in 92. My family's from Chicago.
Okay.
And, the Bohemian Boys song, they came to Chicago in the 1890s. And my family is still there, so I was born in Chicago. Since growing up, lived in, we lived in Kansas for a while, Illinois, Colorado, Arizona, California, Ohio, North Carolina, Tennessee, back to North Carolina, then up to West Virginia finally.
Dad in the military? Or
No, this was all my own travels.
Oh, okay, this was after. Wow.
Yeah. Plus, playing music, I've traveled to 48 states. I'm missing North Dakota and Hawaii, but I've played in all the other 48 states and several other countries. So I've traveled a good bit, but my roots are in Chicago, in the suburbs, and I'm 58 years old, so I'm a baby boomer, and I thought to write a song that kind of reflected on that, and so I'd like to go ahead and do that, because there may be a baby boomer or two tuned in.
I was born in the suburbs in the middle of the baby boom, ate our frozen suppers and we landed on the moon. I remember the assassinations and the flowers in our hair. I'm a member of the Woodstock Nation, though I wasn't really there. But I came of age in the days of wonder and rage, and I'll never see those days again. We kept up with the Joneses and we got back to the land, lived on bread and roses, and we fought in Vietnam. Got to know the Dharma bums and Lucy in the sky. We learned that when the big one comes, we'll kiss our goodbye. When they came of age in the days of wonder and rage, and we'll never see those days again. My dad was a commuter, and he coached the Little League. Our pets were spayed and neutered, but our butterflies were free. We heard no one over 30 could be trusted, we were told. But when we were cold and dirty, it was great to be back home. And we came of age in the days of wonder and rage, and we'll never see those days again. We watched in living color on our black and white TVs. We believed in visions and believed that we were free. We believed the truth to be both simple and profound. We left the dishes in the sink and hitchhiked into town. And we came of age in the days of wonder and rage, and we'll never see those days again. We came of age in the days of wonder, and we'll never see those days again.
That's a swell song. Lena in East Liverpool, Ohio, is on the phone right now and mentioned seeing you at Kent State in the late 80s. And is enjoying listening to you.
Oh, that's great.
So much right now. Thank you, Lena, for checking in. I'm glad our signal's making it out to East Liverpool. So how did you become such a fine writer?
I write all the time. I wrote a song this morning. I started it last night before I went to bed and finished it up this morning. I'm always in a writing mode, and I listen to my songs and I critique them. And I listen to other people's critiques of them, and I just refine the process as I go along. And I challenge myself, like that last song was just, I come up with an assignment for myself, say, well, I've never done this kind of song, so why don't I try to write an autobiographical song about, my own, et cetera. And so I guess just practice.
Do you have a sense of how many songs you've written?
No idea.
I get the sense in talking with you that there's probably constant wheels spinning, right?
Yeah.
Maybe not necessarily super fast, or maybe, but it sounds to me like you have to write. It's not just a question of wanting to. Which is good. But I can only imagine you got to get those ideas down, and then, gosh, as soon as they're out of your head, I'm sure another one takes its place.
I usually have a few song ideas percolating in there, and most of them don't come to fruition. Most of them I'll toy with for a couple of days and decide, nah, this isn't really going anywhere. I'm not a writer who will obsess over a song for months at a time. I know writers who do that. And they find success with their own methods. Every writer has their own way. And my way is to get it done and move on. And if it doesn't come together, I just look for another song idea for the most part. Every once in a while I'll come back to a stalled song idea. But for the most part, I get them done within a day or two. And then
The deadline can be your friend. A lot of times there's a great book as a magazine writer and editor. I think it's called Done in a Day, but it's just a collection of, fine columnists from, 5-day-a-week columnists for various newspapers. And, there's a lot of fine writing that is done in a day or less, including a lot of the songs I have a feeling we're hearing.
Yeah, I get into a groove, and sometimes I finish and I go, whoa. What made me think of that? I don't even know. you once you get into the flow of it, you know, it's fun. It's really satisfying, especially when it works out and you play it for an audience and they get it. You know, the first time I played that Baby Boomer song, I was really nervous, you know, because I didn't know what people understood, and I got a standing ovation.
Oh, yeah, I think you hit it. I'm in the right age range. You had me smiling the whole way through. John Lilly is here. It's johnlillymusic.com. I think we'll have time for two more, if that's okay with you.
Sure, sure.
What do you want to do next?
Well, let me do a slower song here. I haven't done any slow, pretty songs here. This is one I wrote. I work at the state capitol in West Virginia, and I went for a walk one day last June. And in the time it took me to walk around the Capitol complex, every time I looked down, I saw a four-leaf clover. I had collected 7 four-leaf clovers and 1 five-leaf clover by the time I got back to my office. And I thought, well, that's odd. I don't know what kind of chemicals they're putting on the lawn down there.
No, that's an extra lucky clover, too, the five-leaf.
Yeah, so I kept waiting for my luck to change. And the only thing that happened was I got this song out of it called Four-Leaf Clover. They say good luck surely be mine if the four-leaf clover I might find. I hope these things they say are true. I've had nothing but bad luck since I lost you. One day, out in the yard, down on my knees, searched long and hard, till there, in the shade of the old oak tree, four-leaf clover waited for me. Now the search is over. I found that clover. Now all I need is you. The search is over. I got my clover. Now all I need is you. Now the search is over. Found that clover. Now all I need is you. Yes, the search is over. I got my clover. Now all I need is you. Yes, all I need.
John Lilly, if you've been looking for that song to play while on bended knee presenting an engagement ring, that would be one. That's a pretty song.
Thank you.
Very pretty song. And it's been a pleasure to have you here. I'd sure like to have you come again when you're in our neck of the woods.
Oh, I'd love that. That'd be great.
Thank you. Is there anything you wanted to mention that I maybe didn't give you a chance to?
People can check out my website. Love to have them come out to a show. I do have a band called Blue Yonder. if you go to my website, there's a link to the Blue Yonder site. A couple great musicians, Robert Schaefer and Will Carter and me. And we do a lot of my original songs, like Four Leaf Clover and some other things. And come see us play. Come out and say hello.
Great. I'm just going to thank a few people and then have you close us out, if that's okay. It's been a busy morning. The teens winning the Fairchild Challenge today, Olivia, Caitlin, Haley. Thanks. All of our young guitar players from Pittsburgh Music Academy. Also, Senke Little Pool, the 10th grader that was at the White House Monday with his science fair project. Along with his brother Caleb and mom Pamela. Thanks for being here today. Eileen Valoria from the Warhol Museum and Dave English from the Sprout Fund. Also thanks to Mary Hart from Imagine It, an inclusive career and interest fair. And Jonathan Gogler early this morning from Carnegie Museum of Art. If you missed those features, just go to slbradio.org to learn more about them. And thanks to you for being with us, Robert Gray. Great job engineering. And we'll let John Lilly close us out. Thank you, John.
Thank you, Larry.
Seems like everywhere I go, the people say to me, what we won't know is can you yodel a tune? It's Cindy Tell Lies, so I say to them, I say yes, indeed I do. For miles and miles around, you can hear them say, oh, that crazy sound, a little yodel goes a long way. Now let me tell you about a girl who I once knew. She was sweet and pretty and she was a little lady too. I loved her and I asked her if she loved me too. She said, yes, indeed I do. For miles and miles around, you could hear her say, oh, that crazy sound, a little yodel goes along. I can't sleep cause all I hear is yodel-a-dee. Do you know what time it is, you crazy fool? I said, yes, indeed I do. For miles and miles around, you could hear him say, oh, that crazy sound, a little yodel goes a long, long way.
John Lilly, thank you.
You're welcome.
JohnLillyMusic.com. Join us again next week for the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings on Public Radio.